Jim.
Good job. Good job. Good. Simmer down. Simmer down.
Take a seat.
There you go.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, how big a good
bagel
going on?
All right. A good bagel.
And we don't have a... That mic is just purely for recording. We don't have any audio in the room, right?
I believe that's right.
No, Kathy has that mic that was to my left.
Yeah, I have it.
Oh. That's for the PA, and then it's supposed to transmit it out to the...
Try speaking into a mic. Oh, right. See.
Booga, booga.
Yep.
All right, let's get started then. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the November meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Nancy, you're in the room, can you let us know where the restrooms are from here, if anybody's in need?
Okay. As you walk out the door, if you take a left, if you just continue down the hall, you're going to pass the vending machines. You'll be able to hear them. And if not, if you need somebody, we'll be able to assist you. But as you pass there's a hum and there's an ice machine. And then just as you pass the vending machines, there's going to be two doors on your right. The first one is the women's, and the second one is the men's, and then there's a water fountain in between.
So we go out the door, make a left, go straight through the center hallway area, keep going straight, and it's the doors on the right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Always important announcement.
Okay.
If anybody has a copy of the agenda, we did forget to put a break in there, but we do have some scheduled public comment time, and we'll make sure we slip a break in there as well. So don't worry, we'll make sure that gets in there at some point.
We did bring it.
Okay. Kathy, can you let us know where the proof of publication and so on for the meeting was this time?
Yes.
Okay, the notice of the meeting was published in the Omaha World Herald, the Lincoln Journal Star, State Government Calendar, the NCBBI website, on NFB Newsline and Radio Talking Book, and the notice was sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBBI listserv.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kathy. What's your question? Are you having trouble hearing?
Yeah. I mean, do they have a microphone?
I'm speaking in one right now.
What?
I'm speaking in a microphone right now.
Oh.
This is me without the microphone. This is me with the microphone.
There.
I think you need to be closer now.
Okay. During the meeting, we'll have an opportunity for public comment. Please hold your comments until that time. If you do have an issue with the environment, please feel free to mention it, though, especially if you can't hear. We'll try to accommodate you. During public comment periods, we'll ask for who would like to speak. We'll write your names down, and everyone will get an opportunity. And then once they've all had their chance to make their comment, we'll ask if there's any further additional comments, and we'll follow the same process in an orderly manner. We don't have to worry about lunch arrangements today. And there's a copy of the agenda available here in both print and braille. If anybody would like a copy that has not received one yet, There is also a copy of the Open Meeting Act in both print and braille. If anyone would like to take a look at that, it is available on the table to the left of the coffee, I believe. So, and with that, we will move on to roll. So, my name is Mike Hansen. I am the chairperson from Lincoln, Nebraska, and represent the interests of the National Federation of the Blind.
Okay, so I'm Robert Newman. I'm the co-chair, and I live here in Omaha.
I'm Becky Regan, Executive Secretary, Dakota City.
I'm Chad Bell from Alliance, Nebraska.
I'm Mark Bulger. I'm from Omaha. I'm the American Council of the Blind board designee.
I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission, based in Lincoln.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant, Lincoln.
I like to walk around, so I'll take the microphone.
Wes Majerus, Technology Manager, based in Lincoln. I'm also monitoring the recording equipment.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for Services, based in Lincoln.
Jim Yurok, State Immediate Past President of American Council of the Blind of Nebraska, Vice Chair of Sheriff Air. I am also the Convention and Membership Chair for Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, representing John Q. Public and the Unemployed.
Bob Deaton, NCBBI, Lincoln.
Barbara Epworth, I'm a member of ACB and I'm the chapter representative in OAB. I'm a member of OAB, Omaha Association of the Blind.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Bill Brown with NCBBI.
No.
Connie Danley, District Supervisor, NCBBI.
Naomi Marion with the OAB and the Talking Radio Book.
I'm Becca Jordy. I am with Radio Talking Book Service.
I'm Nancy Laurel. I'm the Omaha District Supervisor, and we also have Kim Snitzer here today. She's a Vocational Rehabilitation Counselor. She's down watching the door.
Eric Buckwater, Vocational Rehab Counselor, NCDVI, based at Lincoln. Ross Volpier with the Nebraska Business Enterprises Program and also the National Federation of the Blind.
Charlie Salzman, Vocational Rehab Technician, based in Lincoln.
Oh.
Stephanie Wakel, Vocational Rehab Counselor in Training at the Lincoln District.
Brian Baldwin, O&M Apprentice at NCBBI.
I'm Maida Abdich. I'm the Second Vice President of the Omaha Chapter of National Federation of the Blind.
Stacy Cloyd. President of the Student Division for NFB and also an Omaha Chapter member.
Mr. Chairman, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you everyone for coming. It's great to have such a large crowd here. I appreciate all of your interest in what's going on. Next thing on the agenda is the approval of our meeting minutes from the July 23rd meeting that we had. All the commissioners have received a copy of these in advance and have had an opportunity to read through them and make any corrections as needed. So I will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the July 23rd board meeting. We'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Yes, Robert?
Yes.
Pass it down.
Yes.
Yes.
And yes.
Should just play musical chairs instead of a musical microphone. All right. Wonderful. The minutes have been approved, and those are, of course, available for everyone to be able to read. They're posted on the NCBVI website. Today we have a focus topic, which I don't think we've ever done before, and so this is a new one. It is on brochures, websites, social media. It's on us reaching out to the public, letting them know about the services that we have and what we do. I guess with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the commission staff to begin their presentation. But I'm sure this will venture into many different directions, because us reaching out is more than just us reaching out to potential clients. It's potential employers. It's potential, you know, people who might know a potential client or for referral purposes. It's getting our name out there in lots of different arenas. So.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a couple of staff members.
Oh, pardon? We can. One thing I forgot.
Okay.
I apologize. I was reminded that we didn't real quick review the agenda. I'll just run through here real fast. 9:10 was the approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting. 9:15 is the focus topic, which we're about to begin. After that will be roughly 10:20 public comment. We'll throw a break in somewhere in there probably. 10:35-ish will be the commissioner's report. 10:45, report from the executive director. Then we're moving into 11:05 would be budget biennium update. 11:25, a newsline update. 11:30, client assistance program, complaints or issues. 11:35, anonymous staff suggestion box submissions. 11:40, Nebraska business enterprise update. 11:55, report from Radio Talking Book. 12:15, public comment. If we need to, we can throw a break in there as well. 12:30, well, maybe not, because 12:30, typical final announcements, and then 12:35, we'll adjourn. So that is the agenda. We'll do our best to stick as close to it as we can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
All right.
As with most things, the great efforts that go on are very much team, with some key lead people. Leading the discussion this morning is going to be Eric Buckwalter, and then Wes Majerus, and possibly Kathy Stevens will chime in as they see fit. So I'll let Eric take it up.
All right. I think I'm going to pass the mic over to Wes and let him talk about the website first. Just recently, end of summer, we launched our new website. I'm sure many of you have had a chance to review it and see it. It's a large step up from where our website was in the past. One of the biggest improvements is that it is mobile-friendly, which means that it automatically recognizes if you're doing it on a desktop or laptop computer, something like an iPad or a phone, and adjusts accordingly, so everything looks appropriate and on the page. Before I pass it off to Wes, in the report that was submitted were the numbers from September for the website. And just this week, we got the numbers for October. So in the month of October, we had 499 unique visitors to our website, 763 total visits. That is 57% of them were new visits. There's a map of the United States and kind of pings where those came from. A large majority of them, not surprisingly, come from Nebraska and the surrounding states in the Midwest. But as far away as New England, Washington, Oregon, California, Texas, it looks like the just a quick glance, it looks like Montana and Utah were the only states that didn't visit us this past month. Most of those page views were on the welcome page. Again, that's not overly surprising. And 300 of them were direct visits, meaning they typed in our website directly. 312 of them, 307 were organic hits from Google. Nine came directly from Facebook and five from Twitter. Again, that's not surprising. And when I talk about social media, I'll talk about why it's not surprising that those numbers aren't higher. So as far as the intricacies of how the website works, I'm going to pass it off to Wes.
Thanks, Eric. The goal of the project was that for quite some time we knew that the website was in need of assistance, in need of an upgrade. And so we did do a lot of exploration of how we could move forward. And one thing that was proposed was the Nebraska Interactive Meadowlark system. For those who are technically minded, it is a Drupal-based system that is branded by Nebraska.gov, and that gives us a number of benefits. I was pleasantly surprised when I went to the training with Kathy and Eric to learn that the editor, which is called the CK, that's Charlie Kilo editor, that is used to make the site content is accessible. A lot of times you don't see that with state stuff. This is beneficial because I can actually go in and format content. The website is a very turnkey operation in that those who have access can log in and put the data in. We can make new pages. We can, and we do that from our desk. We can do it from an iPad or an iPhone, although it might be a little cumbersome to do. But we do now have the ability to stay pretty current with what's going on out in the with the commission by updating the site. Before, we had to send all of the data downtown to Nebraska Interactive to have them post it for us. This board meeting will be the first exercise in posting the audio files independently ourselves. Kathy and I will learn together how to do that. We have a job aid that tells us how to do it, but we'll learn how that works firsthand coming up early next week. the website, we asked people to update the content that their area focused on, such as the center, business enterprise, and a number of areas. One area, ironically enough, that was not represented on the old website was technology. So we now have a technology page under services. One of the things that we were asked to do was to come up with frequently asked questions. And as such, we have some that were submitted by different districts and front desk in Lincoln. And also, I put a few in for technology. We have our technology guidelines up there now. This was a very, maybe painful is too strong of a word, but the website committee found it hard to focus sometimes and getting things moving forward, and we were many times overwhelmed. But now that we have a new shiny website up, I can't speak for them, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it, both when I visit it from the public-facing side and when I do stuff in the back end.
Thank
I guess Wes is giving it back to me. Before I get into social media, I don't want to forget it, so I'm going to, I believe brochures was on the agenda there as well. A new order for a small amount of our current brochures was placed in late summer. These brochures, it's the three ones that kind of look the same, they're just different colors. They were updated with our new logo, and then there's the fourth one, which is looks a little different, which is the center brochure. They're updated, they're fine. We have the master, so as we need to make more copies, we can. When it comes time to redo them, the group of us from NCBBI who was working on them, we ran into some problems with the company that was doing that work for us. So when the need to update the brochure comes along again, we won't be using that same company. We're looking at possibly doing it in-house. One of the nice things about doing it in-house would be that once the work is done, every time we get them reprinted, if some of the pictures are out of date or we have a better picture, we can easily drop a new picture in, update it, and get it out. Along with that, our new logo continues to gain traction. It's been discussed before, but the image, it says NCBBI, and then there's a kind of a sprout that goes up over the N and the C with a leaf. It represents the growth and new possibilities that we offer those that we serve. So the new logo prominently displays NCBBI. Moving forward, it's been discussed that we brand ourselves as NCBBI, much as Nebraska VR has rebranded themselves in the last few years. Answering the phone, talking to people, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired is kind of a mouthful to get out there. NCBBI rolls off a little bit easier. It will be a slow process to acclimate staff and consumers and the public to the change, but it's something that long-term would probably benefit us. Moving back to the social media part of it, I'm going to go back almost 100 years. Of course, social media didn't exist the way we think of it today. But that's one of the first times in a long time that how we market and communicate with people really changed with the invention of the radio. It wasn't long after the invention of the radio that people in business realized that they could use that platform to reach a wider range of people and communicate with them about the services they had to offer or what they had for sale. 30 or so years after that, when the television came into the homes, advertising on television was a big deal. So we've gone a long time from radio to TV didn't take that big of a jump. TV to when there were computers in the home, and then the internet was a longer time. So it's been a longer time since we've seen where people's attention is focused change. And that's really what advertising is and marketing is being where people's attention is focused. And so with the change of where people's attention is focused, that's where you have to be where people are in order to communicate with them. Even anymore, people miss the billboards or the advertisements on the sides of buses as they walk down the street because their nose is buried in their phone, texting away or scrolling through the internet. And right now, where people's attention is on social media and the internet. And it's not on those banner ads and things like that. I mean, that when the internet first came out, pop-ups, banner ads, were how you communicated. Those get in people's way now. I mean, you're frustrated when a pop-up comes up. You're frustrated at those banner ads you have to click away. Even the pre-rolls on YouTube videos and stuff kind of get in the way of your experience. That's not what you're there for. But communicating with people in social media, in their feed, is where their attention is focused. Along with attention is time. I heard an interesting anecdote the other day that Uber, the car share service, isn't really trading in transportation and car rides.
where they're trading in is time. They're so much more efficient. I mean, you call a taxi and you could wait a half an hour or so for the taxi to come. You order an Uber on your phone and they're within a couple of minutes. So it's the perception of time that they're selling, not the actual ride itself. Which gets me back to why sometimes you see click-throughs to your website from Facebook and Twitter not being as high, is because you want to be able to provide the same information in your social media feed that they can get that going to your website. Because clicking, you know, hey, you know, click here to come go to our website to see this, gets in their way of the experience. It takes time out from what they're doing. So that being said, with the social media strategy, you need to be where people are, post cross many platforms, and change how you're posting to meet the people's needs for what they're there for. Some people, you know, use every social media platform, but they use them for different reasons. Some people just use one, and they go there for a very specific need. Currently, NCBVI is active on Facebook and Twitter, two other platforms that are gaining notoriety these days and gaining lots of usership are Instagram and Snapchat. Now, by nature, those two platforms are highly pictorial in nature, not the most user-friendly non-visually. Instagram is moderately accessible, Snapchat slightly less so, but it's really simple to post the same pictures in Facebook and put descriptors on them as we're putting in Instagram. Snapchat stories can be downloaded, voiceover can be done to describe what's going on, and then re-uploaded to Facebook video or something like that. And so what we would post there can be made accessible elsewhere. And some of our clients, especially younger clients, are on Snapchat, they are on Instagram. That's where their attention is focused. A lot of our employers that we're meeting in the community, they're starting to use Instagram and Snapchat to communicate, because they're realizing that that's where their customers are. That's where they need to be active. And you know, it's, if you know, no one's going to come to us. You know, we have to go out and reach out to the businesses and the consumers in the community. Being a government organization, we don't charge for services, so sometimes it's hard to measure our ROI on all the effort we put into these services. Using social media, it's kind of a long-term game. You know, we might not see results next month from the effort we're putting into social media, but those connections we're making may bring results to us 5, 10, 15, even 20 years in the future. Because what we put out there will be around for quite a while. And along with that, if we are active on platforms that aren't as accessible, continue to work to find ways to make them accessible, continue to push for the developers to make things accessible. And kind of getting back to where people use them for different things. Someone might use Instagram. My great-grandmother is on Instagram solely because she wants to see... My grandmother is on Instagram solely because she wants to see pictures of her great-grandkids. You know, and that's the only social media that she uses. She also has macular degeneration. So, you know, having something in there that she might notice would be a benefit. People use Facebook to keep in touch with old high school friends, you know. And if we were to invest money in marketing, things like Facebook, you can target who sees your post pretty specifically. You're not marketing to, you know, you make a commercial, you put it on television, and you're just hoping that the person who's supposed to see it sees it. on Facebook, you can, you know, narrow it down pretty specifically as to who sees that post. And cross-posting, you know, making sure if we put a blog post on our website, that's a great place to have it. It needs to be there. But also put most of it, if not all of it, on our Facebook page as well, so people don't have to leave where they are to go get that information. So that's about all I have on that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So Eric, do you have a different strategy, I guess, for reaching out to different groups, or you know, whether it be clients or prospective employers or the general public, just letting them know about the services we offer, because in the future they might know of somebody who would need our services. Are you doing, like, again, do you have a different strategy for potential clients that might be younger versus the youth in Nebraska today versus somebody who might already be an adult or a senior?
Yes, there are different strategies to use, you know, both on different platforms, as well as when you reach out to them. Those strategies are ones that we're going to be nailing down more in the coming months. You know, once our new counselor starts in Lincoln and some caseloads get shifted around, there's going to be a little bit more time for me to nail down those strategies. One of the things that is available that comes in very handy is there's general guidelines as to when the good times are to post your content, so people see it. You can also follow your own analytics for each of the different platforms and find out when people are in general viewing your content the most. And so making sure that when you post is around those times. So maybe you notice that when you post stuff for our transition age clients, you know, they're viewing it more 10, 11 o'clock at night. Well, that's when we want to be posting that sort of stuff. Maybe some of our employers are, you know, at 7:30 in the morning because they're checking things first thing in the morning when they get into work. That would be the time when we would target those employers. And again, I don't have any hard numbers at this point, but those are things that we'll be tracking, as well as meeting the needs of what they're looking for, whether it's promoting Winterfest coming up in a couple, you know, a couple weeks ahead of time, a couple months ahead of time, or talking to employers about some of the benefits that working with us has for both their business and for our clients. One of the differences with meeting people and engaging people on social media as opposed to radio or television advertisements is the radio and television advertisements are hard sells. You know, they're the used car salesman who's like, you know, buy this. That doesn't work on social media. If all you ever have in your post is, you know, work with us, do this, do that, it doesn't fly. You know, those are the people that you block or you stop following. Meeting people whether that just engaging with them. One of the kind of social media gurus and I follow kind of likens it to a boxing analogy, where you jab, you know, you just throw in lots of little jabs, kind of like, hey, I'm here. And then when you really need their attention, then you throw the right hook and get them, and get them,
yeah. Okay. So I have a quick question.
Yeah, here you go, Robert. I'll pass that down there.
Sure. So that Eric, you know, I know counselors, a lot of staff kind of have to wear different, more than one hat. So this is a hat that you've willingly taken on, and I think it's well placed on your head. It's like you have a head for it. So then, like, how much percentage of your time you think you're going to spend on it? You think you'll have enough time to do it justice, just that whole workload thing, you know?
Yes, Robert, that's a very good question, because of course the clients that we serve always come first. What's going to be the important part is finding the balance of what we can do well. Content is king when it comes to social media. People are pretty adept these days at figuring out when you're being sincere and when you're putting out good content and when you're putting out fluff or filler. And kind of the rule is, you know, if you can put out seven pieces of good content a week, you know, one each day, you put out seven good pieces of content. If you can only do six, you do six. If you only do five, you do five. If you can only put out one piece of good content every week, you only put out one piece of good content. So finding that balance of what is doable within the constraints of time and balance between, for me, between clients and social media will be key. That'll take a little bit of time. You know, one of the things that can be done is, you know, if it's not a piece of written content or a long, but if it's just a picture of something that's going on in the center or something like that, it's fairly easy to set things up. So I take, you know, an hour or two and get pictures to post, get them ready to post, and one will post each day for a week or something like that. So it'll be a balance, and finding that balance will be important. Because we want to make sure what we put out is good and has quality and value to those that we're trying to reach.
Great, thanks.
Okay, well, Eric, first of all, thank you for your effort on this. I'm impressed with the scientific approach to this, and I think that's important. We just can't just be out there to be out there. So, and that being said, I'm a Facebook user, and I consider the MCBBI to be a friend, like I have other friends, and I do appreciate different things that you put on Facebook. I love the videos that you and Stephanie did, and I look at it not only as a friend, but also as a commissioner and as a president of a consumer group. So any information that I can get, I can pass on to the people that I am associated with. So, you know, keep in mind that content. And I'm thinking we've got several different audiences out there that we're trying to reach. Obviously, I think the biggest untapped audience is those that we want to come to the MCBBI to get services and learn more about us. And I think that comes not only from blind people, but also from their family and friends. So anything that we can do to draw people in to the value of the MCBBI, I think once we get them hooked, I think we got it. It's just a matter of, and I don't know exactly how to do that. I'd be interested. Did you bring examples of the brochures that you have? Okay, that's fine. I think those are important to because a lot of people that are visually impaired or older, we certainly want to not neglect that population. Anywhere that we can get those out, libraries, doctor's offices, I don't know, I guess we got to figure out, you know, how to get that out, but that's going to attract some people. I still believe, you know, word of mouth, you know, I think you add credibility when we go out and speak to people that, hey, we do have a social media presence, so we need to continually get out there by word of mouth and draw them in, and then with the social media, I think that's just complements what we're doing. But I always like to see when I'm involved as a consumer, I want to know what I'm, you know, why is MCBBI important to me? So anything that we can do to success stories, testimonies, you know, statistics, you know, if we can do that, that's important, because I find that whenever I think about anything anymore, the first thing I do is I go to Google. So we want to make sure that we're right on top there when people type in Nebraska and blind, so that we pop up there first so that people can find us and then try to figure out what they're looking for and then make that easy for them to find. So whether they become a client or just whatever information's out there that can help them in their daily lives as a visually impaired person, I think is important. So I just want to say thank you. I want to see more videos. I want to see. I agree with you. You should only put stuff out there if it's relevant. So I think we need to. I think we have a lot of relevant things. We just need to showcase those. So and I don't think that burden should just fall on you. I think you need to get the help. I hope I see something on Winterfest and some different things. But I really appreciate your effort, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Jen.
Just one more quick little personal comment for me, just talking about the video snippets and stuff like that. The photos with the description of the photos, that's great. I like that because I've got a lot of friends in my personal Facebook that, you know, they'll just post a video and there's no description. I mean, I'm not the only one. I guarantee you that gets frustrated with that. But on top of that, too, I love just like a 10, 15, 30-second video with audio, then that way you can hear what's going on. It brings life to it, I guess, more than anything. So that's just something to put in the back of your mind for, it's, like I said, it's personal preference for me, but it brings life to it then instead of just a video with or a picture with a description. Anybody else?
Eric, I guess also I enjoyed your guys' videos of the renovation of the commission.
Yeah.
Building in Lincoln, I think that might have been what Chad was referring to.
Right.
Those are great. How are you, with social media, and I'm not a big social media user myself, but with social media, you have to have, and I know I have no idea how Instagram and Snapchat work at all. I can say the names and that's it. I've never been on them. Facebook and Twitter, you know, you have to have people who have friended you or follow you, and that takes some effort to get into people's feeds so that they then see the content that you're providing to get people to follow you and so on. You can, and I know that there are things to help do that. Obviously, once you get somebody, some of the comments you were making about the type of content that you post, whether it be quality or fluff, is going to be whether or not you retain them as somebody who's following you. But how do you get them in the first place? So I know with it seems I've heard in the past with Facebook or Twitter, you know, it's kind of a daisy chain effect in a sense. You know, we're trying to get people to follow us or to friend us or whatever, because then their friends see what's being posted and so on. And so, does it start as a encouragement, I guess, for the staff and for friends of the commission to come out and follow us on Twitter, and friend us on Facebook, to try to help build those, help you in the social, in this committee build those connections with the social media, or how does that work, or and what do you need from us in any help?
That's a really good question, and you're right that the organic growth is the best way to gain followers, and then also becoming known for the content that you put out there. We just can't expect that because we're a government organization that works with a specific group of individuals in the state that people are going to follow us out of good graces. We have to make sure what we put out there is quality. And then one of the best ways to start that organic growth, in addition to having people who already know us link up with us is to be social media trades a lot on what's called the thank you economy. So if someone follows you, turn around and follow them back. You know, go and seek out groups and organizations that are involved in the same sort of work that you do, and reach out to them on social media. Follow them. Become engaged with what they're doing on social media. Comment, like a post without the expectation that someone's going to return the favor to you. And that's how. And for example, I know NFB Voice is on Instagram. Connecting with them on Instagram, following what they do, being involved, is a great way to start that process of growth. We also have current and former clients who are using all forms of social media to promote their businesses, and have great success doing that. So in addition to being engaged and being there for our purposes, it also helps us to learn how those platforms operate, how they work. Some of the tips and tricks. So if we do have clients who want to promote their businesses using social media, we have that expertise and that knowledge of how to encourage them to do so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Becky wants it next.
Okay, sorry.
I love how you're reaching all different types of audiences, because what I'm hearing is a lot of people that might be looking at for them. A lot of people are looking at the website maybe for themselves, and with my profession, with being a teacher, I love the thought of maybe a parent being able to go to the website and looking for information for themselves and for their child. And so. And I have looked at the website, but I haven't gone through everything, because there's so much, and there's no limit to what and who you can reach, and I think it's amazing. But I was thinking, too, that maybe if a parent was looking for something for themselves to get their child up and going, if there is some type of parent groups in Nebraska or nationwide that can be posted, or a resource for, you know what I'm talking about, just maybe something where they can go and get help for themselves. A lot of time I'm working with a couple students where the parents are needing advice, and so it would just be kind of nice to be able to go to a website and for them to find places where they can get help to keep their child moving forward and growing, and knowing what is available for them, whether it be activities or whether it would be education purposes or just social purposes. But anyway, that's kind of the perspective from a parent and a family that I love to see the prospects of this coming through the website also. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to fire out a question here. I've noticed in the last month or so we're doing a lot of contracts with outside vendors, because obviously we can't know everything as an agency. You know, I saw one about the Helen Keller serving the deafblind. Community outside of the resources that we have here. Business development, I've seen we have a contract with them. I think we might be at the point where the whole subject matter of social media requires someone with expertise beyond, we understand blindness and we understand content. My question is to Dr. Van Zandt, what kind of commitment do you have to making sure that social media receives the appropriate attention? I always say, you put the money where your mouth is. You know, do we have a budget for this? And how are we going to really do this and reach those people that we need to serve? And And I don't think we have the expertise completely in-house to do that. So, Dr. Van Zandt?
Okay, thank you. Well, we, by having the passion of the people involved and the expertise that Wes has and that Eric have in-house and knowing what things are really content-full versus fluff, those things are really beneficial. We also have rearranged the way that the job roles within Lincoln District in particular with the new counselor that's in training now, when she comes on board, Eric mentioned briefly that the caseload will switch so that more of his time is available to work on these things. And maybe when I'm done, if you want to speak more to that, you can, Eric. But what we've tried to do is, the kind of pulling it in-house has allowed us to be much more direct and targeted at what we know to be the audiences and the things that are worthwhile. For quite a while before we had this team working on it, we worked with Nebraska.gov, who kind of ran the website, so to speak. But that was before we had a big emphasis to have social media content and connections and all of the latest and greatest. So I guess I and we as a unit have a tremendous commitment to make it work. I'm not so sure in this case whether a contract would really be, and then we actually have a contract with the entity for the Meadowlark platform, I don't know all the right words, but to enable us to put content right where it needs to be, right at the time that we have it, and so on. And I really think that that's a step forward in having a presence. Do you have some comments, or?
He doesn't, I do.
Okay.
I'm not sure I have any comments beyond what you said, Dr. Van Zandt. Commenting on what Becky said, one of the nice things about the website is a section on, I really like the idea of a section on, a section for parents on resources that to direct them, especially for that peer support that we all know is so important for. And one of the nice things about the new website is, it's probably not going to happen. It probably won't happen Monday morning, but we no longer have to go to the downtown and have them create the content and send crews back and forth and things like that. We can create that page, add the content, and update those resources as we find them or delete them as they become obsolete ourselves. And so that whole process it'll be much quicker, so that's something we can certainly look into to getting done.
Back to Mike.
Eric, you made a comment earlier about the quality of content that you provide, and wanting it to be high quality and not fluff just to be posting something. And I guess I worry a little bit about when you outsource something like this and you take the production of that content out of the hands of the people who know it and into just somebody who is contracted to post something, that it might turn more into fluff and lose the quality that you guys are trying to make sure it exists in what you're putting out. So if there was, does become a time where you feel that you need to look at outsourcing this sort of work, that's something you take into consideration. Making sure that the quality that you guys put into it now would continue.
All right, it's Robert here again. So I just was reviewing kind of what I've seen on the website. It really is looking good. It really has been a great upgrade. One of the things I really like reading in the report that we get every quarter is like the nature of the employment that folks have been getting. We get job titles. So what ran through my mind is, and again, I'm not sure if this is on it, but get a little video of everybody who's started a new job, a little bit of a snippet of what they're doing, if they're using low vision or non-visual alternatives. You know, it's just kind of like, wow, if we got a little bit of one of those at every closure, we would really get quite a catalog, and those would really be worthwhile sticking out there, because people just love to watch blind people do things, you know? So, anyway, just
true.
It would be just really great if we could just, you guys all have, iPhones, so while they're on their job, just get in there and take some little snippet shots and get those suckers out there. Anyways, just an opportunity, if you hadn't thought about it, I bet you probably have, but boy, it would really be fun.
All right, does anyone else have any other questions from the board?
No.
Okay.
Eric, did you have any further comments for your presentation?
Sure.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
A little.
Yeah.
Very good. Is it? Go ahead. Whatever.
Sure. let me first start by thanking the board for allowing me to come and speak about this today. For me personally, I'm excited about it. It allows me to flex my creativity a little bit. What you were saying, Robert, about I love that idea of producing a couple small videos throughout the year, highlighting those who have become successfully employed, provided of course they want to be featured in a video online. Mm-hmm. We've all seen those videos on Facebook, and you tug at the heartstrings a little bit. Mm-hmm. And trading on people's emotions probably should neither be above or below us. So,
yeah.
Touching briefly again on brochures, there's some available if any of the district offices need them. Get in touch with Julie. She knows how many they are, where they are, that sort of thing. Some of the brochures, some of the older brochures that we still have floating around, you won't see anymore. They've kind of been taken off the shelves. Some of them have been around for a significant period of time, and they're no longer necessarily effective means of communication. They were great for when they were made, the kind of a long form brochure and those sorts of things. We're keeping a couple of those around, in the future, some of the stories and stuff that take place in that will maybe be featured as a kind of a throwback Thursday long form blog piece or something like that. We'll get those up there. But that's kind of where we are on brochures. Brochures definitely still serve a purpose. They still have a place. Some people still enjoy them. We have to make sure that we're giving that at appropriate times. You know, we've all been handed brochures and stuff as we walk through someplace. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, that's a nice brochure, and then we toss it in the recycling bin after having looked at it once. So, catching people's eye, getting it in their hands, but then making also sure that the information in that brochure, can be someplace where they can access it electronically, because especially. It seems like the the younger generations, of which I'm barely a part of myself. I just make it in at the I'm an old millennial, I guess. Decluttering with paper and stuff seems to be the way we like to go. So
yeah.
That's all I have. Thank you again for letting me.
Good job.
Thank you for your great job.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Okay. Well, that takes us into our first public comment period. And again, I do want to thank Eric for all his hard work and his committee and all the staff that I'm sure have helped out with that process. I really do like the new website. I actually just brought it up here, and I'm noticing changes since the last time I was here, which is great because your guys' ability to do that. I know in the past with the old website, I talked to Kathy like, well, you know, we need to maybe think about changing this, this, and this, and I know she put in the request to do it, and it would take a while for Nebraska.gov to get around to doing it, and it was a process, and now you guys have the ability to, you know, whether it be with social media or with our website or anything, post that content when it's relevant, you know, right away, instead of it being stale and outdated by the time that it, you know, by the time it gets there. You have an event at Winterfest, and you can have something, you know, if it's appropriate, you can have pictures on Snapchat the next day, and kids can be at school showing their friends, hey, look at this great thing I just got to do on this weekend.
That's right.
And not have it be 3 weeks later or whatnot. So that's awesome. So again, we're to our first public comment period. If there's anybody who would like to seek the floor, I would be interested in taking names. I think I hear Jim.
Yep.
Jeffy.
Paul Beer.
I'm sure.
I don't care who you start with.
Maida.
All right. Now, one of the things about sitting in the public during this interesting focus topic is keeping my mouth shut. There were so many times I wanted to jump in and ask questions and I realized I couldn't. First of all, I want to compliment the staff and Eric and whoever else is involved in the social media aspect. They're doing a good job, I think. A couple of questions, or you may want to take notes, Eric, I have several. First of all, I think with regard to what Mark had suggested about, you know, the contracts, that was the first thing that ran through my mind, is the time involved required to do some of this stuff and the caseload and so on and so forth. And Mike, I also understand your concern about, you know, if you contract it out, this type of service and, you know, making sure that the relevant stuff gets out there and not just, you know, just to put something out there. So I think eventually down the road we need to look at, you know, contracting this thing out so the staff can, you know, serve the clients that they need to serve. Having said that, it was suggested, Eric, I think you suggested that Snapchat and Instagram wasn't as accessible as it probably should be. I think there are two schools of thought that I have. Number one is, yes, we want to make sure that we are where we need to be when it comes to accessibility for the clients we serve and for us and all of that. But we need to look beyond that, and we need to look at down the road. In other words, We're not necessarily places for us or for those that we serve. We are potentially trying to reach people that we may be serving in the future. And while Instagram and Snapchat may not be accessible, we are doing it for John Q. Public, putting ourselves out there, not just making sure we're addressing the needs of the visually impaired and the blind, which is important, but we need to be everywhere. We need to be on Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, Google Play, wherever we are, we need to be there. So accessibility is important, but we also need to reach the general public, which really doesn't care about accessibility. Number two, I noticed that the website is now secure, which I'm sure was planned by choice. One of the several questions that I have is, I noticed on the homepage that, you know, if you want to donate, you can, you know, get a hold of Dr. Pearl Van Zandt and she'll tell you what to do and how to do it. Question number one, has there been any thought to donations online via PayPal, which the state may or may not permit? That's the first question. Number two, with regard to the brochure, has there been a thought, on the, with regard to the brochure, having a downloadable, accessible PDF that people can print rather than call the office and say, mail me one? Number three, with regard to the brochure, going back to what I suggested about, making sure that, items are accessible to the blind and visually impaired, has there been a thought about two types of brochures, i.e., one in standard font setting for the general public that doesn't need large print, and one for in large print formatting for those that do? And that's all I have for now, and I'll let you answer the three questions in any order you want.
Thank you, Jim. This is Pearl. I'll speak to that. Some time ago when we looked into whether to have donations feasible online, so there are state agencies. You want to speak to that?
No, I was trying to get Nancy's attention.
Okay. There are state agencies that, such as Game of Parks and others, where you can purchase items or get your licenses online and pay online. So that it is a feasible process. We ended up deciding not to do that for the amount of, we don't need the donations as much as connecting with people, and if people make a donation or set us up as a memorial, they can contact the office, and we can also give more information about NCBVI and what it is that we have to offer people. So that's, at least I can say, something we've looked into. I am quite sure that the brochures online are available to be downloaded, right? Or no?
I'm looking at them right now.
So I know that they're on there.
Oh, good.
The only part I wasn't positive about is if you can download a brochure from the website. But the information is there, definitely, and
it is downloadable.
Okay, thank you. I thought so, but I wanted to make sure before I said that. And as to the last question, I think you were asking if we would have the actual print ones in a larger font. Is that what you were talking
right.
about? Of course, if you download things, then you can,
well, you can
make the
it,
font
right.
however you want it. The print brochures that we do have are not a small print. Whether we would have, an actual to print out ones that were larger, I think generally when we know people that want information in a larger print, we can provide that for them. So to actually print up a bunch that were a larger print, I don't know if they would really get to the people that needed them or not. Mike, should I go to the next?
Yeah, so that would be Stephanie.
Unless you want to go to the front if you like. Oh, okay. So this is Stephanie Weigel, and the question about the parents of blind students really excited me, as I didn't mention it when I said I was in training to be a voc rehab counselor, but the specific category of that is transition counselor. I'll be working with students 14 to 21, making sure they have all the resources and tools they need to be successful. And as related to the Facebook page, I'm really excited to partner with Eric and answer some of those questions, address some of those questions about how to get parents linked up. There's a lot of the national resources already available, and I want to be objective and put any resource that's out there, whether it be ACB, NFB, otherwise, just get it out there, because why reinvent the wheel when there's already parents actively out there having discussions and making, making changes for the better for their blind students. So thank you.
Ross.
And by the way, you're welcome to go to the front if you
No way, I'm not walking.
This is Ross Bolt here, and my comments and questions are regarding the website specifically. I've looked at the new website and how it looks. I haven't taken the opportunity to explore it fully. My first question is just more of a clarification on who has the responsibility to edit comment. Is it just the three of you, Eric, Kathy, and Wes, or is there more members of the commission staff that will have access? I just wanted a clarification. And then two, the importance of making sure that information is accurate on the website or concise and detailed. For example, this morning, and I'm not trying to be critical, but this morning I was looking up this particular meeting, and I clicked on the first link I found for today's meeting on November 5th, and the information just said the Omaha State Office, and then this, for a time it said all day. So I was just, maybe there was additional information located on the website, but it was just something I noticed. So, thank you.
While I come forward, I want to comment on that too. I did want to mention, anytime if you find a link that doesn't work or doesn't go where you thought it was supposed to go, please tell us. If you notice something outdated, let us know. Obviously, the thing about this morning, today's meeting, and trying to look at it this morning, that's letting us know won't really help, because so I do apologize for that. But it's good for us to know, and as soon as you're aware of something, and we'll make a note to make sure. I think it gets posted about the meetings when we first earlier on, and then we need to make sure closer to the meeting time, actually at the time that the agenda is available, which is a specific time frame in accordance with public meeting law, that we also trigger to check online and make sure that our information about the meeting is exactly what it should be. Eric, go ahead.
Thanks for the question, Ross. I mean, as far as access goes, right now it is just Kathy, Wes, and myself. The idea behind having three people, hopefully all three of us aren't in a bus accident at the same time. There's more than one person, to update stuff, to change stuff. But then also, if you open it up too far, then communication as far as what's getting updated gets tricky. And as far as accurate information, like Pearl said, please, if you see something that's inaccurate or needs updated, please let us know. One of the links on the website, someone sent us an email earlier this week and said, "Hey, I noticed your new website. I like it. You have this link to information of ours. We actually updated this information 6 months ago. This is an old link. Here's the new link." Within a day, one of the three of us found time to go in and make that change, and it was done. As far as accurate information, running a website is something that's new for me. I'm pretty sure it's new for Kathy and Wes as well. And learning the new system, there are some kinks that need worked out. In the beginning, just give us a tiny bit of grace and smile at us nice, and we'll make the changes we have to make.
Yes.
Sure. Wes, with a response, if I can.
Mike.
I'm sorry.
I know what Ross was looking at this morning, and it was on the website, there's an event calendar, mm-hmm. and so that he was looking at the event, and today, and it, yeah, it just lists the commission board meeting today for all day, but maybe a constructive feedback would be that as you can for events that are on the calendar, not that you need to go into a ton of detail there, because then you're getting into trying to make content in multiple places, but have a link back to the location where all that information's at. I know, I believe Kathy always publishes publicizes a page that has the announcement of the meeting and where it's all the details and can list the agenda and stuff like that. So maybe the calendar event in the future could just include a link back to where she has that information.
That's a good idea. Did you want to
let
Wes?
Yep. Wes?
Actually, that was what I was going to say was probably the calendar. I will, early next week, do a little experimentation to see if we can link from the calendar to that other content. And okay. Once we figure that out, that's what we'll do for the future.
Was there
another? Yeah, there's more. Okay. Maeda is next.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
So I was just curious with regards to the with the social media, with Facebook, and I'm not sure about other platforms like Twitter, but I know that on Facebook you can create like polls on your page or surveys. So I didn't know if that was something that you guys have considered as a team yet to do surveys or polls for clients or even just the general public on feedback or like what they would like to see more from NCPBI. Just as a nice, like, anonymous way to give some input that's more readily accessible to everybody on social media.
Thank you. Mike?
I didn't know if anybody wanted to respond to that, but otherwise, Connie.
It's not something we've talked specifically about yet, but it's certainly not something we're opposed to exploring as long as the topic of the poll was quality.
Connie.
Who did you?
Connie
Daly.
I wanted to thank the committee too for all of their work and just the question about having or contracting out versus staying in house. Eric does have a full caseload now. We do plan when Stephanie starts in the field to have him have a part-time caseload. I'm guaranteeing that it will go no more than 20 people on his caseload so that he can address these issues. It is a burden on us. I do carry a caseload. We are looking at changing the boundaries of our districts to take a little bit off of Lincoln, but I do like the fact that it's in-house and that we have someone that is so good at it and has such a passion for doing it well. You know, I have such confidence that Eric can do it well. It would be better if it was a full-time position.
Right.
As far as being in out of house or in-house, you know, having a person that's in-house knows what's happening every day at the commission, and that changes all the time, and being able to respond to events that come up and being available is critical to making it a really successful, I think, social media launch.
Okay. Thank you, Connie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark.
Mark's got a comment.
Yeah. Well, I certainly, to go back to the outsourcing, I would never want to give away the commission's ability to control the content or the accessibility feature. But I do think there are some great firms out there that help you find the consumers that we need to reach. And I'll give an example. If you're writing a fundraiser and you take out the phone book and just send it to 100 people, you may not get many responses. But if you go to a firm that specializes in mailing lists that gets you to the right people, you're going to reach more people. So I would think even like large corporations, they can control the content, but they also go to the experts that know how to find the networks of people. And so that, I guess that was my content, because I think we are the only ones at the commission that can do the content. We understand blindness, but it's hard to know everything, and I was thinking more reaching those potential people. So that was my comment.
Okay,
here you go, Mike.
All right, before we move on, is there any other further comments?
This is Nancy Calero. Can I make a comment?
Sir, just a second. Is there anyone else but Bob? Your name?
Marion.
Naomi.
Naomi?
Yeah.
I guess Marion's the last
one. Naomi, yeah.
I realized that as soon as I said it.
Anyone else?
First names.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment about the parent piece. One of the things that we have started in Omaha is a parent group, and we've met twice. Tim Jefferson, who's a voc rehab counselor here, has kind of taken the lead, and he's working with Shane Burrish, and it's something that we're trying to expand across the state. And it came from feedback from the parents through the summer, through the work with wages and some of the parents being able to attend a convention and recognizing the importance of what their expectations are going to make a big difference in what happens with their children. So, okay. Naomi.
Thank you, Nancy.
Hi, I'm Naomi Marion, and I just wanted to say I enjoy being here for the first time and learning more about what's going on. I listen to the Talking Radio book. I get a lot of information from them. I am legally blind, and I see some things, but I'm learning more. It's like somebody had said, the thing that interests me the most was a baseball team, and they were all blind, you know, and that got me started. Then my eyes went out. So I understand. Listening and talking to blind people, you learn a lot, you know, in spite of their blindness. But what was concerning me was getting the information out there to those who really, really need it and maybe not know about it. Because I didn't know anything about it until finally my eye doctor told me, well, go to so-and-so, and they can tell you a little bit. Well, that got me started. And then I ran into a lady who passed away. And she told me where to go, and that really got me started. And I met Mark on, you know, going to one of those meetings. Josephine had started me out. And I enjoy going to the meetings and learning more about what's going on. And I'm just glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's really great to have you here.
Okay, so it is about a minute, and in about a minute it will be 10:30. So why don't we take a 15-minute break and be back here at 10:45?
Good job.